Okay. Good morning and welcome to Dynamics 365 Portals. Who's been to session yesterday about Dynamics 365 and Azure? Most of the room. So I suppose you guys are interested to hear about portal side of this story. So I was doing slides. This is a lot of slides. I'm just going to either do the demo and then just skip the slides or skip the slides and do the demo, right? So it's one or another. But I'm going through the slides really quickly. The reason is that the way the deck is scrubbed, it's really hard for me to change it once it's submitted. So anyway, who runs portals? Okay, there are a few hands there. I hope towards the end you'll learn a couple of things, a couple of tricks about the portals. Who's planning to run the portals? Okay, great. So you do guys know that portals now come with subscription with Dynamics 365, right? So it's free. It's like you don't have to pay for, well, free as in you have to get subscription. So what we're going to talk about, the portal capabilities in general, very quickly, because it sounds like you guys know in general what portals are about, what's new, just briefly service architecture, and then we'll talk about developing portals and extensibility. So what you can do with them as developers. Dynamics 365, you all know what it is. Most of you have been to session yesterday. Now, the portals, what's interesting about the portals is that it's essentially what we were talking about yesterday. That is using Azure to the max. So using Azure, because they live in Azure, it's a software as a service. So you don't install anything. You just configure and it just runs, right? There is obviously a kind of perceived downside to that because you can't go in and poke around, right, as you used to. You can't change web.config file or anything like that. It's not available to you. But the upside is that you sleep at night, right? So you don't have to worry about it. Okay, why the portals? Very quickly, for those of you who are architects, sort of get some extra points when you're talking to customers and when you're deciding if to use portals. The most essential is on the left, the self-service is on the rise. That's just during the 3 years. Imagine now it's probably 100%, right? So people want self-service. People expect to go to the website and find it there. So 90% of the customers actually expect it, and probably now the figure is even higher. Every one of you, I expect, like if I deal with someone, if I bought services, I expect to go in, log in, don't log in, get some support, get help, and so forth. That's where portals come in. Basically, they're bringing together communities, like communities of people, communities of partners, community of users, Dynamics CRM. And they enable you to quickly build those communities and build functionality for those communities. So functionality, key functionality. So it supports the portal supports. This is out of the box. Like you don't have to do anything extra. So local and federated authentication, multiple providers, profile management, both B2C and B2B. You can configure and create a variety of applications within the portals out of the box, web engagement applications, content management. It's all built in. So it's CMS as well as the application platform. You can apply quickly, and I'll show you custom branding. Design is all good, responsive, so mobile devices and such. And out of the box solutions, there are plenty, and we'll walk through them. Responsive design, built on Bootstrap, so it's out of the box, supports scaling. Don't have to do absolutely anything extra. If you're familiar, who's familiar with Bootstrap? Okay, you know how it works, right? So I'm just going to skip. Custom branding, I'll show you. It's easy to, you just add your branding, you add at the right point, and you can brand because the structure of the portals is hierarchical, so you can brand even kind of subsites and things like that. Security model, two parts to it, authentication and authorization. Both are important. On authentication, it supports basically OpenID, OAuth, federated models. So all the providers you know and love, like, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Microsoft account, ADFS, you name it. You can build custom ones as well. B2C is coming. I don't know when, but yeah, it's on the roadmap. So support, sorry, for Azure ID B2C. So Azure ID Premium has B2C, and support for it is coming down the roadmap. And authorization is a separate story, very deep authorization model. I'll show you the demo of that, how it works. Full profile management, password reminder. If you're using local authentication, then it goes through the supports registration, password reminders, resets, all this sort of stuff. It also supports multiple identities, so the same person can use Twitter or Facebook plus local, so, and you can engage, disconnect, reconnect all those identities. So it's really easily manageable from inside CRM, in fact. Content is fully editable. I'm not going to stop here because I'm going to show you. Custom applications, so you have you can quickly build support for things like, for example, map locators of the services or products or what's not, variety of features like map view or calendar view of the entity lists allow you to quickly build a variety of applications. So this is solutions out of the box. So there is a portal called Custom Portal. Gives you the bare minimum. And then you can have a community portal, customer self-service portal with the variety. Features are slightly different. Partner portal probably get the most attention in the latest release. And I'll show you just briefly overview what features are there in the partner portal. There's a lot of there. There are a couple new portals, field service and project service. They add-ons to the partner portal, so you can manage your projects for your customers and things like that, and expose this functionality through portals to your customers and stakeholders. Events are in preview at the moment, so there is events are coming. Why people ask itself, what does it mean in like events in preview? So what's involved in there? Sometimes people lose visibility that portals, they don't deliver, for example, event functionality by itself, right? Whatever portals deliver lives inside Dynamics 365. So if you want to build, you know, a road fleet management solution, you need to build it in Dynamics 365 first, and it needs to work there first. If it doesn't work there the way you want it to, you get nothing in portals. You get no value. Once solution is in Dynamics 365, then you can enhance and expose this functionality through the portals, because portals expose what's in already there, what's built, the entities, the functionality, the backend functionality, and it uses CRM as a storage, so it stores the content there. Everything lives inside CRM, so it's searchable from one place, it's manageable from one place. Lots of features. I'm just not going to go. The deck will be downloadable. You can read it all. And all this information is available. The only one probably worth mentioning is that multilingual is improved. I'll talk about it separately. So what's new? Framework enhancements. Dashboard chat support. So you can expose CRM chats now, surface them. It's a bit of manual work, but not much. So I'll show you. Knowledge management. So now you have filtering product and faceted search. You also have content access levels filtering, so you can kind of say, oh, you're not a gold level, so you're not allowed to read this article, or you're under 18, so you're not allowed to read these articles. So kind of petitioning. And by product as well, so you can, if Mary bought, Surface Book, and she's having problem with the display. She goes in and searches problem with display. But we know, if she logged on, that she bought Surface Book, so it most likely display problem with the Surface Book, so we can bubble up the article on the top and filter it based on the product that's associated with the customer. Improve pattern management. Where do I begin? Lots and lots of new features in the partner management that sort of manages partner pipeline, the distributed opportunities, managed opportunities, partner collaboration, so you can actually give opportunity to your partners. It's building partners for your partner community. It's not Microsoft partners, it's like your partner community, right? So you can take opportunity and you can make other partners collaborate on the opportunity and things like that, and you can manage all through the portal. New portals I already mentioned, language support, expanded to multi-byte, so we're well covered within APAC now. The only two languages that are not supported are right to left, so Hebrew and Arabic. The rest is currently supported. And going cloud, which is not for us anyway. That's the other government. Okay, let's quickly take a look. Okay. Hope that's the right one. Yep. Okay, so I have instance of Dynamics 365 provisioned. It's a big one. I provisioned the trial, which is a full-fledged trial, so it includes field services. You know, when you provision trial on the right, you can say, give me everything. Right? It makes your Dynamics 365 bigger and sometimes just a tad slower. It's not as responsive if you've got nothing, right? But that's, you know the drill. If your solution does nothing, it's really, really fast, right, at doing nothing. That's the best performing one. So it's got lots and lots of stuff. So what I did, I went quickly... Let me just go to the port. I'll just go straight to managing my instances. So when you go to the instance, right, there is in lots of new goodies. I'm not going to talk about those, like backup restore. Who used backup restore? Okay. I don't know that how you used it. It already saved my skin, right? So we did the boo-boo for the customer and just restored from the last night. Took about 10 minutes. So this is great. And you go to the applications. That's where it all begins. And mine is already... named. That's the which instance I'm dealing with. That's not the instance. This one. They all look the same. So that's the one I wanted to show you. The other one also, but it doesn't have everything. So this one has everything. And I called it Ignite Demo, so it's already kind of managed for me. So I can go in. At that point in time, I would pick up the portal that I want. I want customer. I want which portal exactly do I want. It's this page has been... you have insufficient. No, I do have privileges. So this is the page that you see. This is I blame Edge. I use Edge for a lot of things, but sometimes with authorization. This is what you get in the end. So you can manage a lot of things with the portal. You can restart it here. It's effectively kind of you restart your web instance. The most interesting one is resetting. So you can reset if you're not happy with the partner portal. You can say, hey, I really, really, really want to reset. And it gives you ability right here. It will display the dialog that is very similar when you first provision. You can basically wipe it off and reset. The other question people ask quite often, oh, can I have two portals? Right? Yes, you can. Right. You can have multiple portals. You need to buy those. But you can have multiple portals live inside one instance of Dynamics 365. So you can deliver. The only gotcha is that you want to upgrade your solutions at the same time because they sit on the same foundation. So when you upgrade foundation, you want to do portals at the same time. So if you've got customer and partner portals, you can host those from the single instance of Dynamics 365. When you upgrade one, you really want to bump both of them at the same time. Okay, so once you select the partner portal, two things to keep in mind. Oh, you see these little nice things, field and project services, and then licenses required. So for your internal use, this is not a multiplexing device, so you will need team licenses. They range from $4 to $10, I think US dollars, per user per month. So the price goes down, but there is no free lunch, so it's not a multiplexing device. For external communities, so you're fine. You can have millions of users running on it. So when you go to the portal, it looks like that out of the box. So I can sign in, and you see out of the box I've got Azure AD account, LinkedIn, that's my first installation user. But I'm just going to partner manager. I'm just going to log in as partner manager. And that's not... No. Oh, partner admin. I'm sorry. That's better. So, and I granted all the permissions to this partner, so it's really like mighty God. The one thing that changes when you go, you see there's a chats and dashboards surface now. So you can surface that. You can drive, into individual opportunities and manage from here. If you're doing project service automation, it surfaces dashboards, so you've got projects, but no quotes, so not very profitable business, if you ask me, but all the work and no money. But for field services, it would surface like different field services. You get agreements, service requests. If I'm logged in as a customer, I would get my work orders and things like that, so the menu would shrink to work orders and I think service requests and my assets. So depending on who you logged in, it's kind of adjust and display. So there's a lot of different functionality. Let's say I go to manage the opportunities I get, and I can create new opportunities right from here and say ignite talk. This is actually going to bring lots of money today. So straight up, I can create from here, I can manage it from here, I can distribute to partners, I can engage partners. So once it's saved, warm up, wake up. Once it's saved, it gives me ability to create notes around it and manage manage the opportunity directly from the portal. Yep, okay, so it's created, and now I can manage the contacts, the opportunities, so distribute it to partners, so collaboration, I can close opportunity. Oh, I hooked up for those of you who, I ran out of time yesterday, but I'll just show you what's happening. I hooked up the function, Azure function, 5 lines of code. So now I have to, let me show you the, oh, come on. Okay, I have this app. And what I'm going to do here, I'm just going to show my... Okay, so that works. So effectively, if I create opportunity here, it goes through big one. I don't even need to do all that. So it goes through Azure Function from the portal, hits the pipeline, puts the service bus. From the service bus, picks up by Azure Function, three lines of code. Once it saves, it takes longer to save to CRM. The reason why it's actually takes a while to save because here it comes. See? So it came straight to the phone. The reason why it takes a bit to save because there's a project services and field services. They all hook into Opportunity. So lots of plugins, lots of code running, lots of validation. So this one works quite nicely. Let me switch back to the deck and see what else we can do with the portals. Service architecture, it's built on Azure backend. It's highly available. It's globally available. It's got disaster recovery in place, what you expect, and it's compliant with data protection standards. There is no data stored as part of the portal itself, right? So when you're asking, like, oh, does it support encryption at rest, all the questions to Dynamics 365, because that's where all the data live. Now, this is global availability. You don't have to figure out. It's selected. If your Dynamics 365 is in Australia, the portal will be in Australia. If it's in Canada, the portal will be in Canada. So it really, the portal is quite sensitive from performance point of view. It caches a lot of stuff, but it does help to see it as close as possible. Right? And it's really, it's load balanced. Uses traffic manager, it uses service bus to distribute notifications. So it's all kind of the way you should architecture your own web apps that use Dynamics 365. Provisioning, the only thing about provisioning is that one is for free with any Dynamics 365 app. Even if you use not the plan, but let's say customer service, portal is available to you. You can buy additional instances for 636 18 months, that includes GST, or you can buy additional page views. It gives you, out of the box, gives you 1 million page views. I guess if you have more than 1 million page views, you can afford extra $63 a month. Identity, this is quite important. During the provisioning, piggyback on my talk yesterday, that it's important who you're running as and who you're accessing CRM as. Portal runs as a multi-tenant application, so it's a one application in Azure, but it's multi-tenant, so it can talk to multiple instances, right? And your instance is one of them. So when you first install it and it hits your instance, it hits your CRM, you get the prompt and you're saying, do you really want to let portals talk to your CRM? And of course you say, yes. And from that moment it talks, it shows up as a system user, and it's all nice and clean, so you don't have to do anything else. You just authorize it. And you can take it away. You go to Azure Active Directory and say, nope, I had enough with your portals. Take away all the privileges, right? And you can just whack it. Very similar to what I did with my app yesterday. Absolutely identical. You'll see another line saying Microsoft portals. You've seen this one, and you've seen this one. Chat. You're interested to hear about chat. Okay, I'll do it as part of the demo. I'll just show you that it's available. Technically speaking, it's not part of the portal, has nothing to do with the portals, but it's part of the offering. It comes with CRM support. It will come, like, shortly. It's in preview right now. And what I will show, how easy it is to make it part of your portal. But really, it can be part of any website of anything, right? Important bits live on CRM side, not on the portal side. But on the portal, I'll show you how easy it is to plonk in and what it looks like. So I'm not going to talk about the only thing that's coming right now. There are multiple experiences I played. It's massive, and it's really, really good, right? So you can make decisions like, oh, I want to show the support widget if someone is abandoning shopping cart with $20,000 goods in it, right? But otherwise, no, don't bother showing them any live web chat support. So it supports like navigation paths through the site, so it watches what your users are doing and things like that. You can ask for authentication and other brilliant things. You've got KPIs for management. So this is part of the management. You control what the widget looks like. So you've got like roles, visitor, agent, supervisor, and admin. Agent, supervisor, and admin, they are chat roles. You need to buy those. Cost you like 65 US per agent per month. So if you have 300 CRM users, you don't have to buy that. If only two users do web chat, you only need to buy two extra licenses. I'll do this part. Now, developing portals. Dynamics 365, as I said, it must be there already. The content lives in Dynamics 365. So you've got content management functionality. You also have authentication authorization. You control who sees what and how they access the data. And it's sort of very similar to Dynamics 365 role management, except from portals point of view. You've got three primary constructs to build the portals, forms, list, and another form, more complicated form. And the last two, I want to talk about Liquid. Who knows what Liquid is? Okay, a few hands. It's good. So I'll show you what you can do. It's actually brilliant and a brilliant language. I'll talk about limitations, and I'll talk about how to overcome with extending portals using backend code. And you thought that it's not available. It is. So they are enablers, so they don't deliver what you don't have in CRM. So remember that, and you're good. Authentication, multiple available. It's configuration only, so it's configurable with the site settings. You don't have to write any code. It's configuration. Sometimes for custom providers, it's tedious, like you need to enter about 8 to 10 settings, but it's doable. It's totally doable. For most providers like Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft account says two settings to enter. Three. Client ID, secret, and callback URL, return URL. That's it. There's three settings, and you're done, right? And it's all like support out of the box. So custom open ID can be done as well. Authorization model, it authorizes two things. You can authorize the content editing, so like in the content management part of things, you say, you don't see these pages, you can edit that page, but you don't have access to those pages. And then there is a basically authorization for functionality, so who's allowed to see opportunities. Are you allowed to edit opportunities when you access that page or not? So this is more in line with the CRM permissions and things like that. So it is on record level, up, down to record level, very similar to what Dynamics 365 permissions can do, very similar but only from the point of view of the portal. And when we're talking about from the point of view of the portal, we always talk about portal user. Portal users are always contacts. If anyone asks, well, can we have accounts as portal users? The answer is no. Decision being made, I think it's a smart decision that whoever logs in into a portal always a contact. If you want account management, well, make contacts part of the account. Right? If you want, one account, one login, well, force one-to-one between contact and account. It's not a big deal. Right. The important thing, it simplifies user management. So users are contacts. So effectively what portals do, they apply a permission model very similar to what CRM has internally, except from the point of view of the contacts. Which contact is allowed to access what data? Working with the CRM data, what you have is basically list, forms, more complicated forms. You've got subgrids to deal with, and you've got templates. So entity forms, effectively, it's a very quick, take CRM form, expose it on the portal. Works out of the box, with rare exceptions, everything works as advertised. Like 99%, just surface, and then you're done. You say, I want this form here, right? View or read-only or edit. Is that a question?
Does that support all your JavaScript and business rules and all the other form customizations
you've made? Are you trying to make my life difficult? No, the forms, the forms don't, the surfaced form on the web obviously don't support, because it's a different hosting model, so they don't support JavaScript and business rules you might have. Having said that, if business rule is on entity level, it will run on the server side as well, so it will be enforced. So if you're enforcing some integrity in your data, the business rule will be enforced if it's applied on entity level. But having said that, you can write your own JavaScript with the forms that when it's surfaced in the portal. You've got entity list. Again, it's very simple. Here's the view of this entity. I want it on the portal, so I'm not going to stop here. Web forms are just a bit, it's evolution of entity forms. You can have, for example, multi-step process. They well suited for something like application form, where you need to lift people through multiple steps, and each step perhaps is recorded in a separate entity in Dynamics 365. So then you would want to use web forms. So it's kind of wizard-like. You've got a bit more settings, a bit more freedom, so it takes a bit longer to set up. Design is very simple. Portal theming. Whatever you drop with .css extension makes it in and affects your design. As simple as that. It's incremental, so you drop little things, and I'll show you how you do it. Bootstrap, not going to save. Every hand went up. Multilingual support. All languages supported. And this is the cool thing. I'll show it to you how to use it. We all want CRM to support Australian English, right? With the portal, you kind of get this. CRM still doesn't speak Australian, but your portal can. I'll do all the demos, like extending Liquid. Okay, let's start the demos. Let's start, see what we can do with the portal. Okay. So I've got this Dynamics 365, which we extended and want to expose this functionality. What we did is we added sports management solution. We all love sport, especially in Australia. This is not particularly, when we were building it kind of with US market. So this is sport management solution. It's two-layered solution. So it's got sport management in general, like you can handle ticket sales, you can take other things. And then there are specifics of individual sports, like what's important about players in that particular sport. So this one is for basketball. So what we care about is how tall they are, how big they are, right? We don't measure skills yet, but you can take this solution and extend it and measure skills. I provisioned the portal already. So I've got this portal. Let me just refresh it to make sure that it's up to date. What's going on? Did I lose connection? Okay, it came back. So this is the portal. As you can see, I already replaced the image. That was I didn't like the image, so I took one from Convergent, from Ignite. Sorry. I've got multilingual portals enabled. So I've got English and Russian language. So let's see first. I'm saying this is all nice. I really would like to get Australian going. So I go to the websites in my CRM. And before I go to the websites, I can go to the portal languages. So you do need to install base language. So I already have English installed and Russian installed in my CRM. If you don't have Italian in your CRM enabled, you won't be able to get Italian in your website. So I've got the English, but now I want English Australia. So Dynamics 365 language is 1033, so it's still English, but LCID 3089, which is English Australian, and the code, that's the prefix for the when you go portal slash and then language code. I do that, I get this language, then I go to the website and don't send anything anywhere. So I go to the website, and on the website itself, I'd say, give me the language. I definitely want to be published. No, not PB. Okay, done. So now, when I go and edit any content on my website, it will be available to be editable in three different languages. So when I go to the site itself, it now has Australian available. So I can now fix all those Zs and, you know, organization with an S and zebra with an S. What else? So now it's available. Well, everything disappeared. Where's my knowledge base articles? Well, everything became localized. Keep that in mind. So you will have to localize everything. Okay, now I want to get some real stuff done, right? So I want to display players. I've got heaps of players. I've got in my database. I've got heaps of players, you know, waiting to be exposed on the web. So we've got fans, so they're interested to see what player stats are, and so forth. So what I did, so we've got this player data. It's a player form, full form. We don't want to expose that on the web. This is for internal, this is for editing. So I created a smaller kind of form, just listing basic stats like age, height, weight, country, email. Really should hide it, but I'll let it slip for now. So name, that's it, position, basic information. Down the track, I'm keeping in mind that I want to put some images like player photos, games they played, and so forth, but let's start with the list. And then players themselves, I have a web players list. I built a list view that just lists the basics about the player. So how difficult it is to surface it? All I needed to define was portals and entity list. And the first one is I define player list, right? And I said, this is the entity player, and I want the list view active players. Probably want to switch it to web players. And there's a web page already pre-created using the form called player. Okay, so when I go to my website, I immediately see, oh, what happened to Oh, the menu disappeared because I didn't define it in Australian English. So I'll switch back to English, US English. I'm not supposed to be signed in. Okay, yep. So, excuse me. So I've got a players list, and it comes through. All I did after that, I've got the entity list that I defined, and I say, here's the page, use this entity list, use this template. That's all I need to say. Comes up, straight in, all this functionality, formatting taken care of, so I can go into individual player pages. So it really takes takes nothing to configure. Whilst we're here, here's, I think, really, this is not the good text. So I'm going to log in. Whilst I'm logging in, where do you get your random texts from? Pardon?
That's a normal
generator. Yeah, 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 but which one? No. No, that's, hold on. Yep. Bacon Ipsum. That's the real one. Okay. Give me bacon. Okay, that's what real players eat, right? So let me just log in and fix the text. What? Okay, let me fire up perhaps a different instance. Yeah, yeah, well said.
So I know with the ABX portal, you used to have to, if you made a change to the CRM structure, you need to do a
Yeah, yeah, you need to do a cache. That's gone. That's gone. What's used now, it's very smart. It uses service bus. So it uses entity change tracking. So if you've got, if you have a custom entity that you're exposing, enable change tracking on the entity. It's just the property of the entity. The portals then will figure out when to refresh the cache. Okay, so I logged in and I go to the page players, and now I kind of title, and where's my content? Which English I'm editing? No, it's fine. Sometimes you have to be careful with multilingual. It's getting sometimes it's getting confused which language. You do have kind of different, you can apply different templates depending on language, so page templates. So pay attention to the one you're using. Okay, so now we have saved this. I can actually log off and see it. In fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to spin off the private window and just put the instance here. Okay, so now we've got bacon, right? So it's all good. I'm saying, hey, look, I've got lots of players. I really want to get this filtered, kind of get it down a bit. What you can do is to use filtering, and literally what I'm going to show you, it's the same stuff. So it uses entity player, I'm defining new view, it uses web players view, all the same. The only thing I've done is I said, give me the metadata filter. And I add that attribute and I say, I want filter on position of the player. I want it displayed as checkboxes. Display name is position. I think somewhere it was saying it's on the left. Oh, orientation vertical. So it's vertical and it's on the left. So if I go and take a look, I'll go straight in what it looks like with the filter. It looks like that, right? So now I can say, and filter down, right? The important thing about this, not a single line of code. All of that. And I'm just scraping the surface. I configured really the basics. If you start editing metadata, you can do a lot and lot more. So this functionality is immediately available. You can certainly do more. You can create, edit, update. You can execute workflows against the selected row. You can start building your applications around that. Okay, but let me show you the cool stuff. First of all, how to apply styling. What I did, let me find the style. Let's do a few things at the same time. I have an image ignite, you've seen that, and I inserted that as a theme.css at the root level as a file. That's it. I'm done. I've got the background image covered, right? But then I have, not this one. I have a file that I built. What I did, I went to PaintStrap. And using Color Lovers website, as cheesy as it sounds, it's actually a very good site. It allows you to build palettes. So I took the colors of Ignite and I built the palette. What it does, it picks up all the Ignite colors are here and it builds Bootstrap around that. That's what I did, created the file. All I need to do now is to say, I really want my blogs to follow kind of Ignite theme, right? So all I need to do is new child file, bootstrap Ignite, browse the file. Is that the right one? Yeah. Theme I already applied, I kind of, it's very small change. So Bootstrap, don't want it in sitemap. Are we done? May take a bit to refresh, but boom, it's already there, right? This one needs fixing. I didn't fix that image, but it's already there. So that's how it is. You drop the file, you're done, right? The other thing I want to do, I say, okay, hold on. I want immediately add support for chat. So I've got the chat going. I've got my chat-enabled instance of CRM here, right? I grabbed a predefined script. They provide in admin portal, they give you the script. I'm saying, this is my widget, this is the size, blah, blah, blah. It's Live CafeX, the Live Assist site where you pay for subscription. That's how it appears in CRM. It's part of CRM now. Right? So I'm logged in here. Now let me enable it on the portal. So what I do, I go to the portal, go to the header of the site. And this is, looks interesting, right? This language. This is Liquid. It's, you guys know that. When you know Razor, you know ASP.NET templates, same stuff, just different syntax. Mixing layout and code. So what I want to do now is basically go in, grab, where's my piece of super duper script. I copied from the admin site. I don't even want to look at it. Right, just copy paste, that's it. So now what I'm getting now is, where's my, this site, let's go home. And refresh. Boom, I've got live chat, right? And I configured this with pre-roll, so you can configure like questions you want to ask people before they even start chat. Or you may want to configure it so it's authenticated. So you say, if you're not authenticated, I don't want to talk to you. So you can force that, George, really, submit. And what I should get here, in theory, I am available. Let me refresh to see if I don't want any resubmissions. Yeah. I think one thing, I blindly copied the script, but I think it contained the identity of the site. And if I start a different site that it the script is meant for. So it's logging in. You will see the script. Oh, no. No, actually, no. It's did. So I'm grabbing the chat here, and we start conversing with the other person. Sorry?
Both people at the end of the chat are just you, right? You're talking to yourself.
I like talking to myself, yes. I'm from the position of authority, right? So whilst here, I'm kind of a minion. The reason why it's a bit sluggish, it's in US. The CafeX preview is in US. And I don't know what they're doing with it, but it's preview, so you can't. But now you're chatting with admin, and you can say, today it appears here, but you're saying, I would say this language is not appropriate, okay? And we end the chat. We're done. Okay, we're done. But in CLM, you have now a chat activity, like in addition to phone calls and all sort of stuff, you now have chat activity that you can associate with the customer. You've got transcripts, so you've got all the goodies, right? Okay, whilst we're at it, you're saying, what's this with the Liquid stuff? Well, Liquid is good. Why it's good is, let me show you why. So I'm going here. And I'm going to the page, entity list. No. I'm going to the page. I'm going to the page itself. So I have this page, which says players. And let me edit it straight from here. So players with filters. I'm saying what's really missing here is. Kind of, we want to know how heavy our team is, right? I swear I'm going to rebuild it for rugby because you want to know how heavy your pack is, right? So what I did, I created a chart in CRM, system chart, where I do stats on weight and height of the players. So all I need to know is which view and which chart. So ID of the chart and ID of the view, and now here I go edit, and that's it. I'm kind of inserting into content, right? And the curly percent, that's a Liquid instruction. And here it says the instruction, the tag is chart. So it says insert chart and save it. So now let's, whilst this one is sitting, let's go on players with filters. Let's see if it's refreshed. Boom. We've got our chart, right? Who's the small forward? Yeah, in basketball, we want them to be not very tall, but really kind of heavy guys, small forwards in basketball. And, of course, obviously, forwards are the tallest, the biggest dudes. So that's how you expect in basketball. So it gives you some charts out of the box. This is not the prettiest, but I mentioned yesterday, I just repeat today, don't ask me to do any design because you end up with sites looking like that, right? So this functionality is out of the box, so you really can surface charts. But let's play this Liquid. I showed you one instruction, so let's play with the Liquid a bit more. I'm just going to copy some stuff. So you can do things like, for example, I have a sandpit page where specifically I do the, hold on, here, I need to be authenticated to edit the page. So I have the page for raw liquid. And let's start just, okay, so what it does here, so it says if user is one of the objects in Liquid, so it's a current user, so current contact, who is logged on. If user, so if it's known, I know who you are, name, pipe to uppercase, that's kind of Liquid instruction, so you can pipe things, you can format things, you can apply different functions. Now I can send you, insert email, address, else, continue instructions, I have no idea who you are, right? And I'm editing it straight here. I'm putting save, and that's it. It's there, right? So I can continue and say, how about do something a bit more advanced? How about if we do this one? So what it does, you have to be a bit careful what you allow, but here it says, effectively, take entity view for the contact entity, view contacts, and then go in a loop and display name and the first column. Display the titles and then display just the full name. And I'm saying, yep, okay, go ahead and save it. And suddenly one, and I swear there were more active contacts. That's the permissions kicking in. So what I need to do is I need to ensure that I have entity permissions and I have inactive permission, I deactivate it. I want to grant access out of the box. Contact is available to read only for people who logged on, right? In this particular solution. I'm saying, I really don't care. Everyone can see everything. Like, activate this permission. It's a global permission on contact. Read the contacts. I really don't care. Read all my 5 million contacts from my CRM. So, now I can go in here. This is an authenticated person. Here we go. All the contacts are here. Right? And it's really fast, Liquid, too. Okay, what you cannot do with the Liquid? I'm just putting it in place. So I've got my one more thing to show you guys. And that is people complain about development, and they're saying, Liquid is only Git, right? There is no server-side code, so you can expose a lot. You can access CRM entities, you can process stuff. It's really, really powerful. You can write entire templates, you can do template embedding and things like that. You can do a lot. One thing you cannot do, you cannot send pages back, right? Well, you can. I can write a form and it will submit, just no one is waiting on the other side. Right? So, what do? We don't have server-side code. Well, you think about it, we actually do. Right? So, let me switch, quickly show you the idea, and then show you how it all works. So, with the Liquid, we've done with the Liquid, so let me quickly get through, oh, okay, you can use JavaScript to start with, right? Who knows single-page applications, SPA? Now, who knows that you can write them against CRM now? Okay, two hands. Okay, great. There is Ada library for JavaScript that enables you to write fully-fledged single-page applications talking securely to CRM, so user will authenticate and you will run your code on behalf of the user. For intranet applications, you can use SPA, right? Because you can ask users to be authenticated in your portal and then your page, the entire page, will talk to CRM, can do whatever you want because you've got the full CRM API at your disposal. You just need to be authenticated. Now, when you're not authenticated, you can do some JavaScript. You can do JavaScript validation, so you can call third-party services. You can do a lot. JavaScript is at your disposal. The model is very clean. The portals send you back. Now, what do you do with the secure services? So you want to do something, and the one thing people ask for is payment. Here's how you do it. You use public. The problem with the payment that you want to submit information like cards information and all the other effectively to CRM, but CRM is not PCI compliant, so you cannot, right? You want to submit it to the service, but then how you get your stuff back to CRM? So you use the model where you split, and you apply it to your services as well. It doesn't is not limited to the payment services. You can apply the same model to your own API. Idea is you generate public-private key pair. You store private key on CRM side. You push public key in JavaScript. And in JavaScript, you take your data, you call your back service, and you say, here's the data I want to process, and here's the key. Hold on to that. I'll be with you in a second. It's like a vault, you know. It's and the service gives you the token, like in Wardrop. They give, okay, come back with this, and I'll give you your code back, right? So you take this token, and you send it to with the record, you save it with the record. This is secure. I mean, who cares what this token is, right? You save it with the record. Then your plugin kicks in. And in CRM, here's your server-side code you dreamed of, right? So you've got your code, you've got your token, you've got all the data. You take that and you send it to the service and say, here's my ticket you promised, and the service does the job. Right, so here's your processing, and then you get all the data at the back end. So in a simple terms, this is how payment, this is what I configure it. In the portal, we serve a page to the client. Client sends the key and data to Stripe, which is our payment service. Stripe sends back token and say, hold on to this. Client sends it back to portals. Portals save the token with CRM record. Then plugin kicks in, takes that, takes private key, sends it to the service and say, charge this customer, quick. Stripe charges the customer, all done. Let's see how it works. Okay. So I created an entity called donations in the portal. Oh, here's your resizing in action. I don't know why I decided to resize. Probably that's why. So I did the donation, but donations only available for the authenticated users. So we want to know who you are. So we want to go and we want you to donate. So this is how it looks. They're saying, what are you donating for? Well, Ignite, of course, and $42. I just left token here visible so you see what's going on. And then I'll say, yeah, I'd like to pay this amount. Oops, this comes from Stripe. I don't do the dialogue. This is actually the best looking part of this website. You want to write down this number? Works every time. So pay $42. Stripe says, cool, I saved your token. Give me back the token. Right? Now, what I do now, I submit to CRM. This token is, like, I can send it around, I can give it to you. You're going to get nothing without private key. At the back end, my code in the plugin takes the private key, takes this token, and does that, and submits. And if I go to Stripe, I should get an extra payment here. Yeah, we've been through that. Here we go, Ignite, $42. Payment successful, no refund, sorry. It's actually charged the fee and it actually charged GST as well, so it's smart enough. So, oh no, it charged $42 and converted to Australian dollars. But it can charge GST. So this is how you do kind of payments and all the secure services, right? You split, you use tokens to protect your content that you submit in. Okay, that brings me kind of near the end. So why the portals? Same stuff because Dynamics, because it's out of the box, it works, it's fast, you zero install, zero maintenance, well, 1% maintenance. It's very productive. You can build a really reasonable applications. It's adaptable. So as I said, extensibility, it's just not the same way what you used to if you used ADX Studio, not the same way, and not the same way as you used to in ASP.NET. But be creative, right? So remember when your family got banned from supermarket because you unscrewed the wheels and built a billy cart with the shopping cart wheels, right? So that was creativity a long time ago, but yeah, for 1 week, yeah, got banned. So anyway, so that it's kind of creative, right? So be creative. You have JavaScript, you've got single page apps, you can split the services, you've got plugins, you've got Azure that you can talk to, you can call functions in Azure and do all sorts of magic. So on that, any questions, ask me. Anyone, did anyone win the tickets? No, not yet? Okay. You did?
No, no.
Oh, you've got the question. remember to correct wristbands for Spark. Oh, do we? Okay. That's news to me. It's good I'm going through slides. So, anyway, so any questions? Oh, you reach me, crmtipoftheday.com or crm.audio. You can listen. Well, you can't be reached there, but you can listen to 45 episodes of crm.audio. Email George Dude is my tag. Questions? Yes?
So I think contact versus users, or contacts are users.
If yes.
So how does that then work if you've got your internal employees, internal CRM users,
yeah,
who you also want to use your portal?
Yeah.
So you can authenticate against your identity, I saw.
Yeah, yeah, but the users, you give them different roles.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will use different mechanisms to authenticate. This one will use Azure AD employees, whilst others would use Twitter.
Sure, yeah, yeah. So
and you give them different roles, and then you configure so they see different things, they can do different things.
So does that mean that when a person logs in with Azure AD, it automatically creates them as a contact?
Yes, there is a contact for employees as well. It's not the user, yeah.
Can you package up and version your changes so you can deploy them into other environments easily?
Okay, there used to be an ADX Studio, it used to be a web copy utility, and we've just been discussing it just literally a week ago. There's not a web copy utility yet, but I walk through with people. Effectively, you deal with it as, because the solution is the same portal solution is works absolutely the same because everything is stored in CRM. You package it as you would any other solution. You use package deployer. You just need to be careful which entities to pick up and which data to move across. But basically, yeah, you use package deployer to do that. So you package your changes as solution, you deploy solution, then you deploy your data. So any deltas, you need to figure it out. Yeah.
And are the entities available only CRM entities or AX as well?
Sorry?
Available just CRM entities in
365
or a Dynamics?
I build it for player. Player is our own entity. So you've seen the basketball players?
Yep.
These are custom entity. There is no basketball players in Dynamics 365. So yeah, any custom entity is available to you.
Okay.
So that's what it's there for. Yeah. Neil, you have
I'm going to ask the same question about release management, DevOps.
It's kind of probably one of the weak spots at the moment. There's no coherent DevOps story, but it's definitely on the rise. We actually lost one of the MVPs who is the guy in charge of who was ADX Studio portals, and now they joined Microsoft. So he's doing a great job, but obviously it takes time to get up to the full speed. But they're perfectly aware of the importance of DevOps. So, yes?
What if you have a custom entity, not in CRM, but AIX? Can we still explore it?
Ooh, that's a good one. If you have custom entity, but let's say in AX or in CDS, what do you do with it? At the moment, I probably replicate the data into custom entity into CRM or build a custom web service to expose. I would replicate. There's a feature that's been in discussion, I don't know, for as long as I remember, virtual entities in Dynamics 365. And we're kind of waiting for it to appear, but when, God knows when, I don't know. But it's definitely something that's being discussed, right? So I expect one day you will have access to virtual entities where it kind of looks like an entity, quacks like a duck, but comes from AX. This kind of thumb. Okay? We're kind of out of time here. If you want to ask me any questions, thank you very much, and just ask me outside.